I had this conversation with my son last night because I was talking to him about generational wealth. Mm-hmm. We sold a business. We sold our in-home care business in 2019. And we sold it for over $1 million. And when we sold, we reinvested that money back in the company. We bought real estate. And so we bought adult day centers. We bought houses and turned them into personal care homes. And so right now we have 28 properties that we own. And I was telling him, I said, the goal is that in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to sell the business, but we're going to always keep the real estate. And I'm teaching him because I want him to know if I'm gone.
You got to know.
Y'all, we're going to keep this real estate. And I'm going to make sure the documents reflect that too. Because I want to leave generational wealth.
Ghetto. Good idea. Now we buying birds.
Girl, that's ghetto.
Payment miss.
Ooh, the ghetto.
Say she quit.
Ooh, the ghetto.
Late on your rent.
Rent is ghetto.
New event.
Ooh, the ghetto.
Invoice in.
Yeah, that ghetto.
Money spin.
Oh, that's ghetto. Hold on. It's kind of ghetto being a CEO.
Have you been completely isolating yourself in business? Like, you don't have people that you could do this business with. Well, you need coworkers, and that is why we created the Entrepreneurs Coworkers Community. This allows you to be able to develop relationships with other people in your community. So in the Entrepreneurship Coworkers Community, we give you a quiz to find out who you are and what type of CEO you are. And in this quiz, you get to meet other CEOs that may be more creative or traditional or hybrid. We have these CEOs there for you. But even taking it up a notch, we have local chapters in your city, from Atlanta to Dallas to New York to Houston to Chicago, chapters in your city where we're actually linking up every single month to work together, linking up to go to brunch together, having fun together, doing community service outreach. Like, this is a section of our life where we can really co-work and mingle with other people. It's time for you to get some coworkers, sis. And this community is completely free. Just because you're watching this podcast, all you have to do is stop, pause the podcast, click the link below, take the assessment, get in the community, and I'll see you there. Bye, coworker. Back to the episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Ghetto CEO Podcast, where we talk about how being a CEO is just super, 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 super duper, uber ghetto, okay? Like, people don't talk about the highs and the lows, right? They just want to show you the G-Wagons and the furs and all the things, but I want to let you know that there are some trials and tribulations. Like, it is some trauma in these CEO streets, right? But we want to give you the real, raw, and unfiltered truth behind being a CEO to encourage you on your journey, to let you know, like, you ain't alone, okay? If you are loving this content, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. So we can make sure that you are tapped in. Now, today is not any different, okay? We are bringing the CEOs that's willing to bear it all and tell us what their journey actually looked like. And today we have an amazing guest, my girl Ishonda. How are you?
I'm good.
Listen, I am super excited about this episode, but tell them who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm Ishonda Blue. I'm the CEO of Innovative Senior Solutions, and I am, we run a senior care business, which includes adult day centers, personal care homes, transportation, and structured family caregiving for family members who take care of their own loved ones.
I love that. So how did you get into this part of the journey? I know you didn't start here. Like, how did we get here?
So I am a nurse. I'm a registered nurse. Okay. I started nursing. Well, my first job was in a nursing home.
Okay.
And I never thought I would work in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. I did clinicals in college, and I thought, oh, man, I'll never work here. You know, it was like it seemed dreary. It was, you know, smelled. And I thought, this is a place where people are going to die. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I would never, ever work in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. But as I got into nursing, I found out that I'm not the traditional nurse. I'm not that bedside nurse.
Yeah.
I don't like IVs. I don't like wound care. I don't like none of those things.
Okay.
But I was drawn to these ladies that was in this office.
Okay.
And they were the director of nursing, the administration. And I'm like, I like that.
Right.
But it was like a glass ceiling. It was like I could see up, but I could not see how to get up. Mm. And so my first opportunity to get into management was in the nursing home. Mm. And so 21, first job in a nursing home, working as an RN supervisor. And when I started working at the nursing home, I started talking to the residents that lived there. Mm-hmm. And as I talked to them, I found out a lot of them didn't have family. Mm. Or they live far away. Their wisdom was just like get out crazy. The stories that I learned But I also learned they wasn't coming to that nursing home to die. They were coming to live. Mm. And they just stole my heart. And so since then, that day, I can remember it clearly, at 21, I made a declaration that if any senior was under my care, I was going to do all I could to make sure they were taken care of.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you said that they wasn't coming. They, in their mind, they like, I'm coming to turn up.
They coming to live.
Right. Yeah. And in our mind, from the other side and the other vantage point, we got it a whole different picture, right? So this journey, this has been obviously a long journey. What do you feel like has been like the most ghettoest thing? When you think about being a CEO, when you like, okay, when I was 21 in a nursing home, I didn't think I was gonna have to do all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that thing for you?
What is the ghettoest thing? I would have to say, reflecting back, well, first of all, let me just say this. I've been fired twice. Mm. So in that nursing home, I end up going, I was there a couple of years and I wanted to grow, right? Okay. So I'm going to go and take a position as an assistant director of nursing, 22, 23. Didn't know nothing about people. Mm-hmm. I had no people skills. I had no management skills. I had a little book sense, but right. I didn't have any of those skills. And instead of the lady that was over me, instead of her taking me under her wing and really teaching me and coaching me, where I had rough edges, she terminated me. Mm. And so I didn't understand why. Of course, I was heartbroken. I had to eventually go back to where I came from as far as jobs. But before I left, because one of the caregivers that came to me and said, they're getting ready to fire you. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to the caregiver, and she told me, she said, well, one day you walked by me and you didn't speak. And of course, I didn't even remember it, right? And it wasn't intentional.
Right.
But she was letting me know that in that position I was in, it matters to people. And if I could go back to her, because it changed after that. That changed everything for me.
Wow.
Because I started to self-educate. I started reading books. I put myself in classes. I wanted to learn how to truly lead. And so even though I guess what's ghetto is, even though you're put in this position,
right.
That don't mean you leading.
Oh, no.
If ain't nobody coming behind you, ain't nobody following you,
right.
You ain't leading. So learning how to truly lead a team of people, to care about people, I think that was a little ghetto.
No, I agree. And I tell people all the time, like, when you, especially regardless of where you live, you are leading in a company or you leading your own, nobody typically is telling you what to do. Like, nobody's telling you that, oh, you got a little attitude or you walking by people and you're not speaking. Like, you're just doing what you naturally know how to do, right?
Yes, yes.
And so it is a hard struggle to become a leader. And it's not something, especially in your company, that you like, I intentionally need to do. You know, you just trying to make the money. Like, right. I'm trying to keep the lights on.
Right.
So I love that. So on your journey as a leader, do you feel like you've been able to transition those same things inside of your own business? Or what was that transition for you?
Most definitely. Because after that happened, like I said, I went on this personal journey to learn how to lead. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to have another opportunity to take a position, a director of nursing position. And I take it. And I went in with a whole nother mindset of knowing my people, getting to know them getting to know me seeing them, me working with them, leading them by example. And we turned the facility around in 6 months to deficiency free. And it's so funny, in this nursing home, and this is not that long ago, we didn't even have disposable diapers. We had cloth diapers.
What?
Yeah, crazy. Ghetto, right? But you know what? We worked so hard. We had no pressure ulcers. That's stuff that people get from laying too long and not being turned and kept dry. You know, I pulled back covers. Like, we finna take care of these people.
Right.
And so, anyway, I got, after that, that's just like, I got promoted to corporate. I became a nurse consultant, which led to me starting my own business. And I've never once really, now I'm gonna take this back. In the beginning, I really wasn't thinking about dollars.
Okay. Because
I didn't really have any sense to. Now I got sense. I know, right, you got to look at the numbers, but it was always about the care for us. And I think that is what has been the staple in our business.
I love that. But I think that's the hardest thing. Like, how do you balance the care versus being a CEO, right? Like
ghetto. Because we were making decisions, okay, the caregivers, okay, and we did a wage survey, mm-hmm. right? So the nursing home and the hospital are paying their caregivers way more than what we were paying. Okay, we're finna get competitive. Let's go pay them.
Right.
Well, if you don't know your numbers, hey, you can get yourself in some trouble.
Right.
In fact, we didn't know our numbers. So we were doing home care. Home care was the first business me and Jessica started, my sister Jessica. And when we started doing home care, we just started growing. It was just crazy. Like year after year, we were doubling in sales, mm-hmm. but we never knew our margins. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving pay raises. So we thought our margin at the time, we paid the caregivers $10 an hour, right? Okay. We charged $20 for service. That's what we got reimbursed from Medicaid. I'm thinking our margin is $10.
Right.
I ain't counting up overhead. Yep. I am not counting up overtime.
Yep.
I'm not counting up raises.
Yep.
And mileage and all the other stuff. When we got through looking at the real numbers, mm-hmm. the margin was $5.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a big deal. So, right. like I said, we were nurses. We had nursing at heart. We really had not been to business school or learned any of that stuff. And so that was hard for us. But we had to learn it to stay in this business. We had to learn it because that is the business. So,
yes. All right, y'all. I know y'all are tuning in to this Ghetto CEO podcast episode, but I have to bring y'all a special guest, okay? I want y'all, what you say? Buy real estate. Don't wait. Wait, what you say?
Don't wait to buy real estate.
Uh-huh.
Buy real estate. Don't wait.
Yes. Listen, tell them about your program that you have.
Yeah. So my program, what I do is I'm a real estate investor. I buy cheap distressed properties out of state. Fix them, furnish them, and rent them to travel nurses. Mm. And some of the properties, I rent them on Section 8 because I like to get my money in the first of the month.
Yes.
So what I do is teach people how to do the same. Right now, I have over 500 students, and every day we're closing. You can check my page. Yes. I have so many testimonials. So we buy these properties close to the hospitals. A lot of people think during COVID is when, you know, now that COVID's almost gone, the nurses and the business travelers have gone down. That's not always the case. And some people always think that you have to buy in a big city like Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I buy in smaller cities because the competition is less and a lot of people are not doing what I'm doing. So at a bigger scale. So as long as there's a hospital and there's a business center, it's always a great place to start.
I love it. Listen, if y'all are trying to tap in, because literally she talked to me about like how she started at $40,000 and buy a $40,000 home. And how much did you put down? Like
$8,000,
y'all, literally. Mm-hmm. And she said one of her students had like a 560 credit score, right? Like, and listen, don't wait. You need real estate, okay? You need to get your real estate. So I need y'all to go over there to her page, tap into her course. The link is below. And make sure you use code Ghetto CEO, okay? Yes. That is one word, Ghetto CEO, and you're going to be able to enjoy this amazing quiz. Now listen, make sure you do the work, okay? Because I want to see the receipts. All right, y'all, now back to the episode. I know Jessica is your partner in this business. Did she went to nursing school too? Or
she went to nursing. Okay. Both of us are registered nurses.
Oh, wow.
And I'm 8 years older than Jessica.
Okay.
So when we started our business, she was 21 and I was 28.
Okay.
And so she was really a young chick. but she was like a quick learner. Like the things I probably got fired for not knowing, she picked up on quickly.
Mm.
And so, of course, she didn't have to go through that stuff.
Right.
But we're a great, great, great team. I think now more I'm more focused on operations.
Okay.
But she's the heart of the business.
She is
a nurse.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
That's the difference in the two. Like, I ain't nursing, but she going to get out there and do it.
And get in. Because that's what I was going to say. Like, how do y'all play the roles, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do y'all kind of go in and have your strengths but your weaknesses as well, and kind of know each other's weaknesses?
And we know our lanes and we know our strengths too. I think back to when the pandemic came, we had just opened a brand new 24 bed personal care home, or some people call them assisted living.
Okay.
And of course we didn't know the pandemic was coming,
right?
But when the pandemic hit in April, we had people lined up to come, but ain't nobody coming now.
Right.
And so we were like, what are we going to do? We got this mortgage. We got this building.
Right.
What are we going to do? And so we strategized and we decided that we were going to open up the personal care home as a refuge for people that was recovering from COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So something that everybody was running from, we ran to.
Wow.
To stay in business. And Jessica was in there. It was crazy because people were dying. And it was really scary back then because people were dying, right? Yeah. You didn't know. And so we were taking people in who was recovering. The hospitals were full. Nursing homes were full. Wasn't taking people back. And I don't know if you know, but we're in Albany. That facility is in Albany. And that's when the first cases of COVID-19 surfaced in Albany, Georgia.
Wow. No, I didn't know
that. Yes. Little small Albany, Georgia. And it took Albany by storm. But that's what we did. One of the challenges that we faced to overcome that challenge.
So how do you feel like that helped or it didn't help? Like, what was?
Well, we stayed in business. Right. And we filled our center. So we probably, it was a 24 bed. We probably took in 15 people. All 15 stayed. And so, and after that, you know, we were able to train because once we got over the fear, we could train and teach our staff, and we just became, I think, a staple in our town.
I love that because I can just imagine the conversation. You know what I'm saying? You and Jessica sit there like, "What you was crazy?" You know. So who came up with the idea?
I don't know who came up with the idea, but we were in agreement, and this is what we need to do. And we made sure we had the equipment we need. We did all the things to do it. We were educated. We got educated. We educated our team. And she was in there leading the team.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That is a beautiful story. So, okay, so let's fast forward to now, right? Like, what's the next level for you guys? Like, you have these facilities, you killing it, but, like, how are you going to make this an amazing generational wealth type of thing? Like, what is the next level for y'all?
Next level for us is franchising. Okay. We are currently working on it. We hired a consultant. We're going through all the steps, and hopefully we're going to launch that in this year, before the year's out.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. But it's ghetto, girl. It is ghetto.
I can only imagine.
So now we're learning that we got to be like McDonald's. That it's got to be the same experience everywhere, every time. And so now we're working on how to systemize everything that we do.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be duplicated everywhere.
Right.
And so that's challenging.
So even like McDonald's, do you feel like you have to also do the real estate where y'all have to own the real estate and you just license? Like, how does that work?
You get into the business. We got to talk about real estate because we strong in real estate too.
Okay.
But we've decided that we are not going to do real estate with the franchise.
Okay.
So we're actually going to do where we're going to do company-owned centers, and then we're going to have franchise locations.
Okay.
So right now we have 6 company-owned centers, adult day centers, and we do own the real estate.
Okay.
But with the franchises, it'll be easier for them to get in without doing real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to leave that out of the equation for now. Now, it might change down the, the line.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. And I even see, because I feel like it's a nurse watching this, like, I'm just, you know, trying to pay my bills. You know, like, I was not thinking that this is where I could go. You know what I mean? And I think that you guys are setting an example, even if you are not the bedside nurse type of girl, right? Or you are, that there is a next level for you, right? Yes, like, there is something else that you can tap into to build wealth. You can franchise, you can do whatever. But I love this journey that you guys are on.
Yes. And I think it's important for any business to have a purpose. And our purpose is to improve the lives of seniors by preventing them from going to a nursing home. So all my years working in a nursing home, I never once met someone who wanted to be there. They had to be there for reason. And most of them could have been at home if they could have had somebody to care for them. And that's where we come in and fill that void. So it's definitely purpose-driven work for us.
If you're over here on YouTube watching the podcast, listen, I need you to do me a favor. If you love me, do me this favor. Pull out your phone right now and go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts or anywhere that you actually listen to podcasts at, right? I need you to subscribe and leave a review. Listen, the way podcasts work is the streets don't know we doing good if it's not on the audio version. The YouTube version don't really count, okay? So go over there, leave us a review, and let us know how much you love the podcast. Now back to the episode. And I think the impact that you guys are making as well, you know. So as you guys are developing your franchises and you're going to the...
If you're over here on YouTube watching the podcast, listen, I need you to do me a favor. If you love me, do me this favor. Pull out your phone right now and go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts or anywhere that you actually listen to podcasts at, right? I need you to subscribe and leave a review. Listen, the way podcasts work is the streets don't know we doing good if it's not on the audio version. The YouTube version don't really count, okay? So go over there, leave us a review, and let us know how much you love the podcast. Now back to the episode.
Next level with this side of the business, where do you feel like you'll always keep your centers, because that's like the heart of your business?
Yeah. I had this conversation with my son last night because I was talking to him about generational wealth. Mm-hmm. So we sold a business. We sold our in-home care business in 2019, and we sold it for over $1 million. And when we sold, we reinvested that money back in the company. We bought real estate. And so we bought adult day centers. We bought houses and turned them into personal care homes. And so right now we have 28 properties that we own. And I was telling him, I said, the goal is that in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to sell the business, but we're going to always keep the real estate. And I'm teaching him because I want him to know if I'm gone.
You got to know.
Y'all, we're going to keep this real estate. And I'm going to make sure the documents reflect that too. Because I want to leave generational wealth. And, you know, I can even talk about, you know, just ghetto. Like my mom, you know, her family had land, but nobody taught them the significance of having land. And so it was like a burden to them because, you know, real estate is not like money right now. And so they sold. They sold all their land. And I want to make sure my kids know there's value in that
the
real
land,
estate.
And it's land and real estate. One thing that you said that I think is prominent is that you had a business in 2019, you sold it for $1 million, right? But then you reinvested it and you're continuing to build generational wealth. But if you look on the internet, there are black women selling their businesses every day, right? And then there's this uproar about black businesses selling because they feel like people are not investing back into the black community. But look at your story, right?
Girl, ghetto. When we sold our business, people were saying, y'all were going out of business. It was like a whole lot of negative energy behind it. And I'm thinking, hey, we're coming up. We listen, going out of business. And so anyway, but yeah, we were able to flip that. In fact, we learned so much because after we, when we sold, we didn't really know what we were doing. Okay. It was just the timing was right. Now we're building our business on purpose to sell.
I love that.
And to get the greatest multiple and understanding what that looks like.
I love that. So what do you feel like is the catalyst of why people feel negative about why when black businesses sell, why they're disconnected from it or why they don't want them to sell?
I don't think our community is taught about it and the purpose of doing it and why you should do it, right? I don't think it's taught enough. Like, I went through a class that told me upon doing my business plan, think about your exit strategy. Because, listen, it's going to end one of three ways. You going to sell it. You going to go out of business. Or what? You can leave it to a family member.
That's it.
That's it.
And there's a life cycle for a business. So do I end on a high or you want me to end on a low and be like, oh, well, I remember when, you know? So I definitely understand that. But talking a little bit about, you said you were talking to your son and all the things. So you guys have a strong family business. And everybody can't work with their family. So what has been the triumph, or what have you been able to accomplish with working with your family, and how has that like been for you?
Listen, my parents, my dad is 78, my mom is 74. They are right now in Waycross, Georgia, driving for us because we're down a driver.
What?
My parents work for us. I work with my sister. My brother just came on with us this year and took over operations. My son works for us. My daughter works for us. My daughter's 28. My son is 24. I got triplets that are 8.
I was saying, and then you started on.
I'm going to train them up. And but the good thing about that is we all, I want to make sure everybody in my family knows every job. Mm. Like I started my kids at, as caregivers.
Oh, wow.
And so I want them to know if we ever down, because staffing is hard. Now, that's ghetto, too.
Facts.
Because people walk out on you. They don't have to do what they do. Mm-hmm. People work from home. They work from staffing agencies. Yep. A lot of people don't have to be committed to a job anymore.
Yeah.
But I want my family to be strong enough. If we're down, we can go feel it. Mm. I can feel it. Jessica can feel it.
Right.
We can work any role in the business.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. So how do you guys deal with like struggles or like if you guys disagree? Like, do you feel like you and Jessica are always on the same page, or sometimes y'all like are on two opposite pages?
Whew. It's just like we know each other. We are so, so blessed. I think I'm the visionary, mm-hmm. and she's the realist. And so I think where it comes for us, like I can see something and I want to do it right now. Mm-hmm. Like we bought 3 businesses at one time. We did an acquisition in February, and I could tell you about that later. But Jessica come to me and say, let's slow it down, mm. or let's think about it. Or maybe we shouldn't do this right now. Like yeah. she brings the real to it. So I'll have the vision and then she bring the real and we just come together.
I love that.
And sometimes she'll get on that vision thing with me and we'll do something too much, like buying 3 businesses at one time.
Yes.
But for the most part, we're just a great combination together.
I love it. I love it. So as we wrap up the episode, I know that people are listening to this and like, wait, I'm a nurse. I want to do what she doing. I want to sell a business for, just give me one business to sell for $1 million. What would you say to them as they are on this journey and they're on the bedside or they're in the hospitals? How can they see the vision? Like, how can they see the next level for them?
Oh, it is just so many possibilities as a nurse. First of all, it's more than just bedside. Let me just say that you can have a business. You can be a nurse practitioner. I mean, it's just so many things you can do as a nurse. I hope me and Jessica is going to be an example, leading an example on what you can possibly do. And if I have to say anything about seniors, it's the fastest growing population. And if you want to know what industry to get in, you better look at senior care.
Mm, I love it. You heard it here first. Okay, you better look at senior care. I am super excited to just see y'all journey and continue to see what you guys are able to accomplish. These franchises is going to be crazy.
Yes.
Better than McDonald's.
That's right.
All right, y'all. I hope you guys love, love, love this episode. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And I'll see you guys on the next episode of the Ghetto CEO Podcast. Bye, y'all. Ghetto. Money spin. Oh, that's ghetto. Hold on, it's kind of ghetto being a CEO.